Now, we love getting previous guests back in to see how they're doing, and we've got one man here today, Boxer Paul Hills. Great to have you back, my friend. Great to have you back on the show. And you come with the announcement that you're calling time on your pro career. Why?
Oh, Chris, it looks like it does look like that's the way that the retirement on the professional career is upon us. There's a few factors to it. It is a full commitment. To be a professional boxer is to be a professional athlete, and to try and hold down working and bringing up four children and a sort of lifestyle that I've got at the age of 36 is it's near on impossible. But I will say that's where it comes in. You got to ask yourself how much you want it, and the sacrifices you make to sort of fulfill your dream and goals. But I feel that my family have been put through enough through the years, because I started so late on the boxing scene. I do feel that they've been put through a lot, sticking by me so that I can get through my camps and fulfill my dreams at professional boxing. And I just feel that at 36 now, the level that I want to be fighting, due to the fact is that I do sort of like, I've had in six professional fights, I've had three title fights in there across eight rounds. So at that level, I just feel that now we went for the big show, and to fight a sort of young, unbeaten prospect, to sort of class myself, so I knew myself if I could cut it at that level. And I'm not left asking myself no questions, because on the night, Tom was he was that much sort of sharper, his reactions were that much faster. He wasn't there to be hit like what we planned to be, because obviously I believe it's the age thing, where he's only, I think he's 22. And yeah, obviously at 36, there's a few years in between there. And in a combat sport, sort of, it is the hurt game. And I think you need to just make sure that if you can retire from boxing, and you've boxed at a good level and you've achieved what you want and you've still got your health intact, then I believe that you shouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth, and you should retire with your sort of, you know, with everything intact health-wise, so that you can enjoy life and enjoy the career that you had. So that's where we're at with it, Chris, really.
Now, let's concentrate on that last fight then. Travel to Birmingham to take on the unbeaten middleweight prospect Tom Stokes in his own backyard on May the 12th. And would you say it was the biggest fight of your career that you've taken on?
I definitely would, Chris. It was something that, the truth be said, there's a lot of people saying that I shouldn't take the fight, and I didn't need to take the fight. I'd just won in my last professional fight. I'd won the International Challenge title belt. So it was sort of like, in a way, I could see their perspective was to finish on a higher. When you throw yourself to the sort of lions like that, and it's straight away with these unbeaten prospects, they've got a different mindset, and they're on a different path to yourself. And it's their living that they're working for, and their future. And most of them have had the boxing bred in them from sort of, when they was 7, 8 years old in the amateur clubs, this, that, and the other. And I think a lot of people, where they know that my background isn't sort of disciplined as boxing, and I took it up late, they was worried for me, which is nice to know that people care about me. But in my own brain, I've always wanted to push myself to the extreme, to never be left asking of what I could have achieved. So I wanted this fight, and I spoke to my trainer, Kevin Lilly, and Kevin said, like, we set out to have a title fight and to win a belt professionally as our little goal, and we'd done that. Kevin wasn't exactly forthcoming in saying, yeah, take the fight. He was like, why do you want to take the fight? And then we worked it out, and he said, listen, I'm going to stick by you, because we set out to do this together, and we're going to do it together. So we took the fight, or I took the fight as such, and Kev sort of backed me up with it. And I wanted that big fight thing. We got an email saying that the weigh-in was going to be at the Barclaycard Arena in Birmingham because of the world title fight that was there that weekend. And that alone, just walking in there and having world champions around you, coming up and sort of saying hello, because it was as if they thought I was someone important or something. But it was a lovely feeling, and it was another achievement in itself to be there on that scene, and then to get weighed in with Tom, and obviously the middleweight weight was another sort of challenge that I overcome and I succeeded making. And then we got weighed in, and straight away there was an interview with us for like a local boxing promotions down there, and it just felt, the fight just felt like it was a real sort of big thing, and then obviously we was top of the bill there and we was fighting for another title, and I was fighting against the sort of, you know, their sort of superstar as such. And yeah, Chris, it was a big achievement in itself. Away from me losing, I ticked a lot of boxes for my professional career that I wanted to achieve, and I did, taking that big fight, you know.
And you talk about setting challenges for yourself. It was your first fight in middleweight. It was your first fight away from home against, it was the youngest lad you've ever fought, and arguably he's probably the best fighter that you ever fought. Was it always important for you to take on that challenge?
Yeah, it was, Chris. I don't think, I'm not singing praise from anyone else. It was more for myself that I wanted to, I never wanted to retire from boxing and be left asking what I had left to give. And obviously, if I've decided to hang my gloves up, it's at the right time, because I know that I've given everything to what I can in my boxing career. And I believe that you're pushing your luck when you know you're not quite cutting it with this next level that you want to challenge yourself at. It's the hurt business, and I, like I say, I've got my children to think about and my family, and I don't ever want to be, it's easy when you're healthy and you retire to think, oh well, I could just do one more, but that one more could be where you slip into a coma or something and you're not the same person that you was before. So I don't think that you should, I don't think that away from, I think every fighter's always going to want to fight, but you need to know when the time's right, sort of thing.
And I mean, you've competed in three different weight divisions in the pro ranks. You've dropped down each time. So how difficult has it been to get down to middleweight for that fight?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, again, a lot of people didn't think I'd make middleweight, but I sort of know what I can ask of myself, and I know how determined I am. And was speaking to my team around me, they was confident that I could make middleweight without killing myself. And yeah, it's another achievement to fight at three different weight classes in only six professional bouts, and obviously across the eight round title fights. It is an achievement in itself, and I can't say it's not just sort of like, oh, you think, oh yeah, I'm gonna lose weight. You have to discipline yourself. And I've got to say that where I picked up a sponsorship with Juice Kitchen in Chelmsford, their nutrition side of things is something that opened my eyes up again. Even at 36, I didn't really know what eating healthy was and eating the right thing. And to make 11 stone at 36, I've not been there since I was 17, and nutrition is everything. I think you can't out-train a bad diet, and I think that nutrition's 70% of your goal when it comes to physically what you can give.
Now, you were stopped in the second round of the fight against Tom. It was your first stoppage loss. What was the immediate feeling after that?
The immediate feeling was, I looked straight at my corner at Kevin Lilly, and when he wasn't sort of, I know Kevin's quite vocal when it comes to the cornering of us lot, and when he wasn't sort of, he wasn't sort of saying it was a bad decision, he looked quite concerned, and that's where I wasn't too sure if I'd blacked out due to taking the sort of unanswered shots. And looking back at the fight now, there was probably a course of 2 to 3 seconds there where I wasn't answering back to any shots, and I probably was out on my feet. When the referee jumped in, I was actually throwing shots back, but I believe that Tom, in a sort of funny way of speaking, he'd punched me back round into full consciousness, because I remember looking through his punches at him and then swinging off, but the referee stepped in front. And I think, well, when I spoke to Kevin about it, what he said was, he actually said the referee come in too late. He said, because 3 or 4 punches before the ref stepped in, it looked like that I was totally out of my feet. And then by the time the ref had got in between us, I was throwing shots back. There's a few things I could say about it. People that know my style know that I do take one to give one. But on the flip side of it, the referee's there for the British Boxing Board to do his job. And he done his job, full credit to him. I wasn't put in a coma that night, you know, and I went home with my health. So hats off to him. I think he made the right decision. It's such a cliche to say, oh, I could have gone on, I could have done this, I could have done that. Yes, I threw shots back, but Tom was definitely hitting me with concussive shots. My friend showed me a clip of the sort of barrage of punches before. It was probably a split second before that we went up against the ropes, and Tom caught me with a right hook to the body and a right hook to the head. And I didn't actually know on the night that I took them shots, because you don't when you're throwing punches, sort of thing. But to see how clear I took them, took the right hook to the temple, sort of thing, it was definitely a concussive blow. And I think it was what it was. We knew that we wouldn't be able to outbox Tom, because he's that much more of a skillful boxer with us. So we sort of thought that, you know, as he picks the pace up, we go with it and just sort of take a fight to him. But that is, again, the age thing. When we started trailing off, his punches to me felt like that was like one third quicker than what I was throwing back. So indirectly, he's hitting me with more shots than what I am him. It was to get stopped was absolutely gutting, but you go swimming and you get wet, and I'm not afraid. I've got no ego to blow up to worry about losing a decision or getting stopped like that. I'm not in this to sort of, you know, feed my ego. I'm in it to have fights and be proud of what I've done. And we took the fight to Tom, and hats off to him on the night he won, you know.
Now, did you know at that very moment, did you think, this is it? As soon as that stoppage came in, do you think, that's it, I'm done now, that's... Or did that decision only come sort of an hour later? And
truth of the matter is, we went back to the changing rooms, and of course I'm gutted, devastated. I'm still devastated now, but I looked round at my trainer, my partner, and all the boys that I train with, and the fellow professionals that have travelled to Birmingham, and I go and watch fight regularly. They are my family, sort of, in my boxing family. And Kevin turned around to me and he gave me a sort of man hug, and he said, like, you know this is it, don't you? You know, like, I don't want to see you taking shots no more. And that was it, Chris. I knew from that point. I looked at my missus and she started crying, bless her. And I started crying, and that was it. I was done, mate, you know. I knew that. I kept thinking about my children, and to know that when I looked the clip of the fight back, it's all good and well saying, yeah, yeah, but I could do this. Yeah, but I'm a fighter and I fight. I do this. I come back from this. I come back from that. Any one of them shots could have put bleeding on my brain. And if we're all standing around a hospital bed waiting for me to wake up, it's something we can't go back on. So I like the idea that I took the big fight and took the big challenge, this, that, and the other. And I like it even more that I come away with my health intact, so that I can carry on my life and be proud of my boxing career, you know?
And, I mean, when you walked into Southend Boxing Club as a 28-year-old, would you imagine 6.5 years later the career you've had? You had the 14 unlicensed bouts, losing only once, lifting two cruiserweight titles, the 6 pro fights. Is it beyond your wildest dreams at that time when you came in?
It is, Chris. It's something that I remember looking at one of my friends that was fighting on the unlicensed scene in Southend Boxing Club. In fact, there was a couple of them fighting, and I used to question them, saying, how does it feel when you walk out and there's all them people that are there to support you? How do you know you're fit enough? How this, how that? And now it's turned around, because them boys that I used to be in awe of, they now follow my boxing career, and they credit me for it. And I could have never thought for one instance that I'd stick through it and have the support that I have through my partner and my family to let me fulfil my dreams. It is saying that, I know it's a cliche, but it's saying dreams are made of, because when I used to watch Mike Tyson, Frank Bruno getting in the ring as a kid, my dad used to make me watch Marvin Hagler, I used to love him, and I used to watch all these people going in there and they didn't look scared, and then they'd knock, you know, they'd knock the hell out of each other and embrace each other in a big cuddle afterwards. And I always thought to myself, when I'm a man, or if I ever make it to being a real man, sort of thing, I just wish that I'd be able to challenge myself like that. And I grew up always till the age of 28 not thinking that was possible, Chris. And I embraced it, embraced the lifestyle, and I pulled the most out of what I possibly could give. So I feel that I rose to every challenge, and I pushed myself past the point of knowing. There was a thing I see, like a little quote thing that I see, I think it was on Facebook, and it said, how do you know when you've gone far enough? And it says, when you go too far. And I didn't really understand it, but I kept thinking about it for weeks and weeks. And when this fight came up, that is how I knew. I knew how far to push myself with my professional boxing career will be the day when I know I've pushed myself too far. And that was what I've done in Birmingham. But it's not a negative thing, it's a positive thing, because I can retire from professional boxing with no questions asked, knowing that I have pushed myself to the absolute utmost. Yeah, and I can retire proud that I was a super middleweight champion. And I took a fight at middleweight with an unbeaten boy that he's probably going to go far in boxing, you know. So
so what's next for you then? What do you think you're going to do now?
With the support I've had from my sponsors over the years, and also the sort of network that we've built up through the gyms, the trainers, the nutrition side of it, every aspect about it, I definitely will always be involved in boxing in some way, shape or form. I've been approached by a few people about the personal training side of things. I don't believe that my skill set and what I know about boxing isn't, I can't show anybody how to box, because I'm not a great boxer, but what I do know how to do is put the work in and stay consistent, and I know how to sort of use the nutrition on the right side of things, get in shape. I think I'll be pushing forward through like a coaching side of it, strength and conditioning sort of thing, you know, like the circuit side of it, working with fighters maybe on their sort of like away from the actual boxing discipline of it, but still being really involved in the boxing scene. There's a lot of my close friends that are, you know, unbeaten pros that are coming up in the ranks, and they're going to go far in boxing, and I want to be there to see their journey. So I'm still training more or less every day. It's an addiction to me. I feel that it puts me in the right place in life. It's a discipline that I need in my life. And I enjoy it so much that I'm sort of never ever, boxing's done things for me and opened my eyes up in so many ways that I'm always going to respect the sport and the discipline in it, and that's why I'll always be involved in it.
And are you training to be the corner man as well, are you?
Well, it has been said that I might get my seconds license, Chris, because it would be really nice to be in the corner of obviously the boys that I've been training alongside in their future bouts or whatever. And also it's nice to have the ticket in case anyone ever needs a corner man, and you can jump in just to soak up a bit of the atmosphere. So yeah, that's saying that possibly I'm going to go down to get my seconds license off of the back of now after my professional career. But obviously my family is the first and foremost thing. I want to enjoy some time with the kids and my missus, and just sort of build a bit of stability up, which because boxing is such a selfish sport that people don't understand. And it's, you have to cut yourself away from life in general, and I've done it for the years I have, and I sort of want to give something back to my family, enjoy my time, and then I think I'll be on a better level to sort of give something back to boxing as well, you know.
Well, Paul, thanks for joining us in the studio once again. I'm sure we'll have you in the future when you'll be bringing us in an undefeated prospect. I'm sure in the future you'll be training to World Championship glory. So thanks very much to Paul Hills joining us in the studio this afternoon.